YouTube. We thank you so very much for joining with us in our worship this morning. Also, those of you that are listening in on our website to the audio of it, we pray that it would be a blessing to you. And as always, we thank you for those that are live and in person that are here today. Let's read Matthew first, Matthew 27, verse 44. Said the thieves, that's the two that were on the cross on either side of Jesus. It said the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. People were coming by the foot of the cross. They were mocking him. They were saying, if you're really the Son of God, then come down off the cross. We'll believe you. The thieves, both of them, joined in that ridicule of Jesus as he hung there on the cross. Look over now at Luke chapter 23 at what the Holy Spirit revealed to Luke about this, starting at verse 39. The Bible said, one of the malefactors, that's the thieves, which were hanged, railed on him. Notice it said only one. He railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Wow. If people would just simply be honest and admit the guilt and quit blaming everybody else, you're well on the road to repentance. He said, verse 41, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Verse 42, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. Just two words. All he said, remember me. But it was enough. It's not the words in your mouth, it's the condition of your heart that the Lord sees. These repeat after me prayers, where you have to say this and say that, and if you don't, you miss out on a technicality. That's not in the Bible. The Lord is looking at not so much what you're saying, but what's in your heart. Repentance has taken place with this man hanging on the cross next to Jesus Christ. And this is the last human being to enter into the place called paradise. He's the last human being to enter there through the old covenant. It's a place described in Luke here, chapter 16, as Abraham's bosom, Abraham's side. At all of the Old Testament saints in paradise resurrect in Matthew 27 immediately after the Lord's resurrection. And they enter into heaven through the new covenant. You cannot enter into heaven except through Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament saints under the Old Covenant were in paradise until the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then they entered into heaven. So this thief is no longer a thief. He is a forgiven, cleansed child of God. He is remembered. He is remembered by the Lord not as a thief, but as someone who repented and believed in him. Paul said in Corinthians, and such were some of you, but no longer. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we also become a child of God. This man is remembered. Now, the Lord describes a group of people in Matthew chapter 7 who appear to him in that day, the day of judgment, as having never known them, despite all the good things that they did. In order to remember somebody, you have to first know them. Remember me, he asked. As a child, did you ever get separated from your mom or dad while you were in a store or in a shopping mall? Before the cell phones, I think right after we got married, I got separated and I went up to the front and they said, can Mrs. Eidecker come up to the courtesy booth, we have your husband. Thank the Lord now for cell phones, where the whole store doesn't know it. Kind of scary though, isn't it? Even scarier is when the family has left and totally forgotten you. Right, Adam? No, I'm never going to let them forget that. Yes. Jerry Clower, who's also from Mississippi, tells the story of his son, Ray. He played Little League baseball, and so they were having a crucial game. And so he took his daughter, Amy, with him. His wife had to stay behind because the youngest was sick. And Jerry said it was a beautiful game. But at the end, at the last inning, it was tied. And Ray come up to the bat, to the plate. Thank you, Media Ministry. Ray come up to the plate. He swung and he hit a home run. Won the game. Jerry was celebrating in the stands, hooping and hollering. He was so proud. He was so excited. He said, I couldn't wait, and I sped home. Threw on the brakes up there under the carport. Threw gravel up against the house, sort of like Monica does when she's running late for Sunday school. He said, I ran in the house and I yelled, Homer Lean, you won't believe it. Guess what our son did? He hit a home run and won the game. Ray hit a home run. Ray hit a home run, and he was doing his little happy dance, you know, kind of like Brandon Leanne was doing. He was doing his little happy dance, you know, and he was all excited. And finally, his wife said, "Now, darling, you need to settle down. You're too excited. It's not good for you to get that excited. You're about to have a heart attack." Jerry said, I'm not too excited. Homer Lincoln said, Jerry, where's Amy? He said, I rushed back to the ballpark. And my neighbor, Mrs. Billy Parks, was standing in the parking lot under a light with her arm around Amy, who was crying. He said, I jumped out of the car. I rushed up to them. Mrs. Park said, see there, Amy, I told you not to cry. I told you just as soon as your daddy got home, your mama would send him back after you. Forgotten. It is kind of scary. Remember me. That's the request. Lord, remember me. That's what we observed this last Monday, was it not? On Memorial Day, we remembered the ones who gave their lives in wars for this country. The words are carved right in the front of the Lord's Supper table. This do in remembrance of me. When we take the Lord's Supper, we remember what it took for us to sit on the pews, forgiven and on our way to heaven, blessed by the Lord. I confess to you, I don't understand how a person who's saved and is a member of this church can stay home or find something else to do when we have the Lord's Supper. The Lord says to us, remember me. But instead, so often he's forgotten. Psalms 31, verse 9. Psalm 31, verse 9. I want to read just a few scriptures. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten. You ever been in this place spiritually? He said, I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind. Go back to Judges chapter 2, right after Joshua. Judges chapter 2, verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works that the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Chapter 3, verse 7 said, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. How sad. An entire generation who grew up watching mom and dad worship and serve the Lord consistently and with a dedicated commitment. And somehow it didn't get passed to them, either with the fault of the generation previous didn't pass it, or that generation didn't want to hear it. Sad. We want to be remembered because it's really sad to be forgotten. And this is where we find Joseph today as we pick back up his story, which is illustrating how the will of God works itself out in our individual lives. Back in Genesis chapter 40, in our reading this morning, that very last verse I want you to see, Genesis 40, verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. The next verse in chapter 41, verse 1 said, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So this forgetfulness on the part of the butler lasted 2 years. So Joseph is sitting in prison now after being there for a period of time. And now there's hope. Now there is an expectancy that finally he's going to have the problem resolved. Now, he still doesn't see himself as a co-regent sitting on the throne. He sees himself as being judged correctly for what has transpired from being sold into slavery to be lied against and slandered against and being in prison. So he's expecting to be released and to go back home. Remember, we're finishing up number 6, a dream, the way God works his will out in our lives. A dream involves temptation and testing through adversity, through something bad, through something wrong that happens in our life. So the question this morning is, how is it that we respond to adversity? When something goes wrong, when something goes bad, when something happens and we can't control it or correct it, how do we respond? Well, how did Joseph respond? Now, there's three main choices that you can make when adversity comes. So I want to look at those three this morning. The first choice we have when adversity comes is with disappointment. Disappointment. Proverbs, stay in Genesis, but go to Proverbs 15. Verse 22, Proverbs 15, verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Without counsel, without prayer, without seeking the Lord's will, without counsel, not a place to be in. Purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. When you plan or anticipate something to happen and it doesn't, when you don't plan or anticipate something happening and it does happen, disappointment is usually the first thing that comes up. It's a sadness, even a frustration caused by the failure of something happening that didn't happen. It's a failure of an expectation that you placed on yourself. Appointment is a plan. It's an expected event that you plan for. I'm going to make an appointment to go somewhere or to see the doctor. You make an appointment. Disappointment is the loss of a point. It's the loss of a mark. It's the loss of a plan that you had. The appointment got canceled. Somebody didn't show up. You missed the mark. You missed the date. And so what immediately takes place is your expectation was here and it didn't happen. And so you're let down. You're disappointed. That things didn't go your way. What you had planned to do. Let me give you a solution. Let me give you a prevention from disappointment continuing and taking control of your mood, your attitude, and even your spiritual condition. Two words. be dead. Don't kill yourself, but die spiritually. In 1 Corinthians, Paul said, chapter 15, I die daily. I die daily. Galatians 5, 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Our life does not belong to us. To do as we please. To make our own plans. To set our own agenda. We're not our own. Jesus Christ has purchased us out of the slavery of sin. You were not your own before He purchased you. Sin dictated what you did and didn't do and deluded you into thinking you were in control of your life. I can quit this whenever I want to quit. But He purchased us out of slavery and gave us a freedom and a joy to serve Him in a new life. We have been crucified with Christ, Romans 6 said. We've been buried with Him by spiritual baptism. And we've been raised up again with Him to live a new life. 2 Corinthians 5 said, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new now. So we should live our life like we do belong to Him. John 16, 33, Jesus says, in me you have peace. But in the world you shall have tribulation. So here's what to do. If Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have persecution, you're going to have problems, expect it. Expect problems to come. Expect difficulties to come, and then you won't be surprised when they do. You won't be disappointed when problems come. Don't plan something. Don't expect something without asking God permission in prayer that it's according to His will. Expect to be disappointed in other people. Nice when the preacher don't have to say anything. Expect to be disappointed with people. You know why? Not a one of us is perfect. Even saved folks have got a ways to go before we're just like Jesus. Now, with lost people, don't expect Christian behavior. And you won't be disappointed with other people. Don't be disappointed with yourself. You're in that group. You will disappoint yourself at some point if you're not expecting it. When you listen and follow the flesh, you're going to disappoint yourself. Would you also please expect to be disappointed by God and His will? If you are expecting your will to be done and override His. If you're following your own will, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be disappointed with God because He's going to override it every time. Acknowledge the disappointment. It's going to come. So acknowledge it, accept it. But don't let it control you. Just like with any other emotion, do not let your emotions control your spirit and what you do for the Lord. It's there, acknowledge it, but keep going on and serving the Lord. And the disappointment will disappear when you begin to music ministry, praise the Lord, and sing. Die to self, die to sin, and die to the world. Be dead, and you'll not be set back and overcome with disappointment. The second choice to respond to adversity is with discouragement. Disappointment, then discouragement. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. He said, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Remember last week, God's ways are not our ways. God's will is very seldom our will. That's why we have to change our will and place it under the authority of God's will. But when you're trying to follow your own way and God superimposes His way onto yours, it'll bring discouragement into your soul. When you don't overcome disappointment, it will grow into discouragement. Disappointment is the loss of an appointment. So discouragement is the loss of courage. It's the loss of hope. You see no solution to the problem. You see no way out of the adversity that you're in. You see no way to break the chains of an addiction or a sin. So you lose hope. And you become discouraged, and that affects the way that you live your life. If left to grow, discouragement will lead to disillusionment, where you realize that you had unreal expectations of your life. And then to fear, a fear that controls you. Anxiety and worry that controls your emotions and controls your decisions and controls your actions. And that will eventually lead to depression, where you just give up. And then at that point, if you refuse to repent, nothing left than for God to put you on a shelf unused by Him. Saved, but that's it. How sad. It happens when we compare ourselves with other people. Avoid comparisons. What will other people think if I? Comparisons lead to envy and resentment. Why him instead of me? Why did he get the good job and I didn't? Why did he get the good grade and I didn't, even though I studied? The old, why is my neighbor's grass greener on the other side of the fence than mine? If you compare yourself with somebody better, you're going to always be defeated. If you compare yourself with somebody worse than you, you're always going to be proudful. Both lead to discouragement. So stop using comparisons. And then stop feeling entitled. I don't deserve this. God owes me for all the good I've done and am. Do you really know what we deserve from God? Hell. To be completely forgotten and forsaken by God. That's what we deserve. That's what our sin deserves, does it not? Have we forgotten that Jesus Christ hung on the cross with our penalty and with our sin? Forgotten and abandoned by God the Father? Adjust your attitude to that. You see, the less envious, the less resentful, the less defeated or proud you are, the less entitled that you think you are, the less you'll tear somebody else down with your disgusting, sinful gossip. The prevention of discouragement is to be strong, as the song said. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Not strong in yourself. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21. Deuteronomy 1, you can just listen. Says, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. You see, Satan wants you disappointed. He wants you discouraged so that you will not go to the place where the Lord wants you to be in His will. The last place Satan wants Joseph is in Potiphar's house. So the scheme by Mrs. Potiphar didn't work. He's still in Potiphar's house. He's just in protective custody. Joshua 1:9. He said, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I want to tell you something. To all the little punks who think they're somebody, you ain't nobody. The reason you're that way is because you're scared. You're a scared little rabbit, so you try to cover it up with your macho, with your little show. Hey, God's not fooled. It takes courage not to be a punk. It takes courage to live for God and to be a Christian. You want to know what courage is? You stand in the face of Satan and all of the demonic enemies, and you live for God. You stand in the face of all the people who reject God and hate God, and you serve them, and you pray for them, and you love them. That takes courage. You want to be a real man, be a Christian. I dare you. And Psalm 27, verse 13. I had fainted, lose strength, lose courage. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, on the Lord. Stand fast against the enemy. The strongest weapon Satan has in his arsenal is self. It's me. It's that fallen sin nature that's still in us, the flesh. How tragic it is to realize the harm and the damage that's done to the work of Jesus Christ by his own people. Acting out in the flesh. Living in pursuit of their own wills and in their own agendas. God's people are today so entangled and tied up with the world, there's nothing left for God, there's nothing left for the church, there's nothing left for his work. Stop trying to control your life. Stop trying to control circumstances. Stop trying to control other people in your life. It's not your life. It's God's. Oh, my life is just out of control. Good. That's the best place you can get to. So praise God and stop complaining. If you've lost courage, you've become discouraged because of adversity. The solution is to be strong in the Lord. Take courage. Receive courage from him to live for him. Be dead. Be strong in the last thing. The third choice to respond with adversity is what Joseph chose. It's what we need to choose. It's to respond with discernment. Discernment. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, the unsaved man, received not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him. You want to know if you're really born again or not, if you're really a child of God or not? How do you come to the Bible? Do you even come to the Bible? Do you even read it? And if you try to read it, it doesn't make any sense. You go, Is there a desire, a burning desire in your heart on Sunday morning to be at church? Do you enjoy worship? Do you enjoy being around God's people? Do you enjoy singing praises to God? No way. That ought to tell you something, bud. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. They're not mentally discerned. They're spiritually discerned through faith. Then the mental process comes in. Second, discernment, spiritual understanding. It's understanding the reason that the grass is greener on the other side of the road, other side of the fence, is that your neighbor's septic line busted. Still want to trade? Discernment is understanding that. And instead of envy, go over there and help him. It's to be wise in the Lord from faith in his word. Joseph responded to this latest temptation and test through adversity with discernment, with spiritual understanding of God's will, from faith in God's word. It provided Joseph 2 full years of patience, of additional patience that was required for his next assignment, his next mission, which was to be co-regent with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. After he was forgotten by the butler, you know what he did? What he had always done. He went to work. He did his job in Potiphar's house, in Potiphar's prison. He was dead to the things of the world and to sin. He was strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he was wise in the discernment of what God's will for his life was. Forgotten for 2 years, but not by the Lord. He who knows the name of every star, he who knows every hair on your head, says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never forget. May we never forget him. Lord, remember me. Father, we thank you this morning that you do remember us. You know us intimately. You know every detail about our life. You even know the thoughts of our heart. And despite knowing us in our rebellion, in our sin, in our hatred against you, you died for us. You gave your life as a sacrifice to satisfy the justice and the wrath of God against sin. You were buried for 3 days and 3 nights, and then you rose out of the grave alive forevermore. You ascended to the right hand of the Father as intercessor now, awaiting those whose eyes have been opened to the simple gospel message of what you have done about the impossibility of the situation of our lives. And you await those to come to you in repentance and childlike belief. And saying, Lord, remember me. Lord, for your children that have been born again, that belong to you, Lord, it's easy to forget. It's easy to allow the world and the pressures and the responsibilities that the world gives us, it's easy to forget what you've done for us. And sadly, it's even easy to forget you for a while, because we get so wrapped up in ourselves. Lord, would you take this truth from your word, plant it deeply within our hearts, and the next time adversity comes, tribulation, problems, challenges, difficulties, Lord, may we immediately turn away from disappointment and discouragement. May we immediately pray and go to your word for discernment and wisdom, to be reminded that we're living according to your will, according to your purpose, in order that we may greater glorify you and produce greater fruit. So, Lord, with that, we ask you to help us die daily, as Paul said, to our wills and ambitions, and live to you and to your purpose and to your design, that we would garner strength from you and live in your strength and power to live the lives that you have created and saved us to live, lives of joy and peace and contentment, fulfillment, love. May we dedicate ourselves this morning. May we commit ourselves anew to serving you with that zeal, with that love for you that we once had. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye.